Welcome in, everybody. This is the Price Point Podcast, Episode 3. Today, we've got a good special guest for you today, Nashville recording artist, Kanan Smith. Kanan, how are you?
What's up, Liz?
Not much, man. Thanks for being on with us. Much appreciated by me and Nate and everybody listening. So thank you for taking some time.
Anything for your mom.
I knew something like that was coming. I did.
You were just wondering when it was going to drop.
Exactly. I didn't know if it was going to lead off or close out this session. I told my producer.
I'll probably come back around.
Oh, I know you will. I told my producer, I was like, I can't wait for this one because he's going to say something about Terry. So he's going to get a laugh out of that.
We've known each other for forever.
Yeah, I know.
We've known each other for forever. So.
That's a good. That's a good point, man. I may have to come back at some point in this podcast with something. But
what's going on, man?
Nothing, man. I just with the tour coming up with you, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And I know how busy things are with you, so I again appreciate you guys being on, and any guest we have taking some time. So thank you for doing that. And we're gonna dive right in here, just talking about your childhood growing up. Is the music business something you always wanted to do? I know you grew up in Virginia somewhere, if I remember right.
Yeah, I grew up in Williamsburg, Virginia, which is a small town in between Richmond and Virginia Beach. A lot of history there as far as early American settlement goes. They still have a big tourist industry there where people can go and put on the colonial uniforms and walk up and down the streets where the buildings still look like they were, you know, in the 1800s. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
But I grew up in that sort of scene where it was small, but just big enough you could kind of get into trouble and have fun if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And large family. I was one of six kids. My mom and dad had five boys and one girl. So we kept them on their toes, obviously. And we had a great childhood, man. It was one of those things where my dad was a singer, actually. I think I got the music bug from him because he was singing for fun in a band that he was touring with locally. And they would rehearse and whatnot. And so I would go to his rehearsals as a kid and sit on the couch, you know, and listen to, you know, this rock band doing their thing in the living room. And I thought that was so cool. And that definitely, I think, influenced and is responsible for, you know, why I ended up doing the same thing when I was 12, 13 years old. I was getting my buddies together on Saturdays instead of going to play basketball. We were posted up in Gavin's living room for a while. Driving his mom crazy, you know, playing awfully loud and awfully bad.
Well, I mean, you mentioned basketball. I think you took the correct route there for your career because I don't know many shorter white guys that make it big time.
Yeah, and check this out. I got a great story for that.
Yeah, tell me.
I was a baller back when I was a kid. I was a baller, right?
Yep.
I was excited about just going, you know, transitioning from eighth grade into high school. I was stoked about, you know, playing basketball. I come from a private school, so it was, you know, much different landscape as far as players and size and talent overall. And I was coming in there hot, thinking I had the job. I wore my DC skate shoes. I didn't practice one bit that summer. I rolled into there, and I got my tush handed to me. These other guys were just out hustling me, out shooting me. And I figured, well, hey, I'll just give him my best and see what happens. And well, I didn't make the team, and that was the first time in my life I had not made a team, you know?
Wow.
And to be honest with you, it wasn't even a letdown for me because that was the summer beforehand, the summer that I had really dove into music and skate culture. My family was going through a giant transitional time, and we were kind of all just in this different phase of, I guess, a little bit of rebellion as a kid, you know, and that kind of catapulted me into a scene that was about music and skateboarding and surfing, you know, and that was kind of what I did, as a kid that I think ultimately was really a transitional point that I needed.
Absolutely.
Had I made that basketball team as a ninth grader, I probably wouldn't have have the time on my hands to write songs, to have band practice, to do things that ultimately I was passionate about. Coach, if you're listening, thanks, man, for putting me on the team.
You got to give him a shout out when you got to give him a shout out when you're when you're back in VA and I think you stop on in Virginia Beach on this tour. You can say his name and tell him thanks. Get him front row seats or something.
Man, that'd be awesome. 2 weeks after the tryouts and I didn't make the team, I got a call from the coach, and apparently something didn't pan out on their end. Like they needed another player, and he called me as a, you know, as a second hand option. And I was like, man, this is like almost worse than getting cut.
Yeah.
The call, like, hey, we're short a player. I think, can you feel this? I don't know, man. Turns out I just had this accident on my skateboard and broke my arm.
Oh my gosh.
There was no way I could play even if I wanted to. So it was just kind of like the definitive stamp at that early stage of my life that, all right, sports are over.
Yeah.
Next phase, music. Here we go.
If he didn't hit you with the backhand by telling you didn't make the team, it was the front hand that got you calling later. Yeah. I can imagine how this conversation went when he calls you and says, hey, we have a spot for you, but you've got to trade in your airwalks for some like Sean Kemp's or something.
They're GC, bro.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're not an airwalk guy.
I graduated from the airwalk. Yeah. I thought airwalks were pretty sweet. I'm not those guys.
I had some airwalks until like college. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, you did.
Talk about, you were on The Amazing Race on CBS. Everybody knows that reality show. How did that come about? And everybody that watched that show knows the infamous, I think you were on there with the Harlem Globetrotters. Not on your team, but there was a scene that is you on top of a water slide getting into I wouldn't say a fight, but let's call it what it is. It was a fight with I don't want to bring up X Flames or anything. I don't have time for that myself. But kind of explain that, and I felt like you guys would have at least come close to winning if someone we won't mention. It's like Lord Voldemort. if she would have gone down the slide, you had a shot at winning. But how did that come about? Tell us a little bit about that.
Amazing Race was something I never had. I mean, when that came in as an option into my life, it was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean you're a casting director for CBS and you can just be on Amazing Race? I don't even, we didn't really watch the show.
You were just playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
I was just, and when they came, I guess I just started dating the girl I was dating at the time, and we were literally hanging out for maybe a week when a friend of hers got the job as a casting director for CBS, and namely was helping with Amazing Race, and she thought that we fit the bill for a slot that they were looking for, and put us in a stack of applications, I guess a shorter stack probably.
Yours was at the top.
You know what I mean? And then they said yeah, and we said yeah, and we ran around the room. It was like a 30-day commitment. When I had just signed my first ever publishing deal here in Nashville as a songwriter. And just for people listening that don't know what that is exactly, is a lot of music publishers in Nashville have staff songwriters. That's kind of the way they operate. They hire songwriters to contribute to their catalog, and they pitch that catalog to artists to cut that you eventually ultimately hear on the radio. And it's there's hundreds of these companies who have employees doing this on a daily basis in Nashville. So to really succeed, you got to go after it. You got to work hard, be consistent, and show up, you know, because if you're not turning in songs, someone else is.
Absolutely.
If you're not getting the cut, someone else is. So to have just signed a publishing deal for the first time and literally days later go and tell the publisher, hey, I'm going to need to peace out for 30 days and go be on this TV show running around the world. That's not an ideal conversation to have right off the bat with the publisher. But mine was gracious. And saw it as maybe an opportunity to get some writing material, you know, and it did pan out to be something that I had a great time doing. But I'll tell you, man, it was exhausting. It didn't contribute to my songwriting. It didn't contribute to my musical career. What it did do is prepare me for a radio tour, because the schedules are so similarly grueling. You know, the Amazing Race tops it. I mean, if you're on different time zones every other day, so that's a grind. But the music business also is a grind. And to, you know, to go out there and pound the pavement like you need to, get on the radio and make the relationships and friendships you need to make that happen. And all of that, it's just a lot of work and a lot of go. And I remember putting out Love You Like That was, I got a full dose of that. I had just gotten married, Christy and I. This is not the girl I was on the show with.
No.
That came to a dramatic end. The most dramatic union in Amazing Race history. That was the termination of that. And, you know, years later, I met Christy, and we had just gotten married when when I recorded Love You Like That, and we were about to send it to radio. We had just got married, and so that when you send a song to radio as a new artist, you got to go around and meet everybody. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's something that's really cool. You get to, you know, they get to put a face to a name, and vice versa, and strike up some really awesome friendships with these program directors. But it's a lot of work. You know, you're flying, you're driving, it's early mornings, and as soon as you get there, there's not enough time to eat. You got to go straight in and do the listen and lunch, and then get on air, and then, you know, you get to hang sometimes at a lunch or a dinner and whatnot, and all that's great and fun. It's just tiring.
Yeah.
So that was something that I felt like the Amazing Race sort of prepped me for in a way. It was physically exhausting, but it also got me in the mindset of just, you know, being ready to go.
Yeah.
And whatever, you know, whatever needs to be done, wherever I need to go, let's get there and let's do it.
Yeah, and you touched on a little bit about the how Nashville is. If you're not working, somebody else is. If you're not turning in stuff, somebody else is. And being from there myself, you know, obviously I know about it, but maybe the listener doesn't exactly know what goes on behind the scenes in the whole songwriting and recording process. So touch on that a little bit. Again, you touched on the publishing side of stuff. What goes on, you know, in a songwriting or recording session?
Yeah, so I have a changing schedule all the time, but when I'm in town, I'm writing when I'm in town a few days a week, and the other days it's devoted towards rehearsal or you know, in town meetings and whatnot, and then on the weekends we generally hit the road and play shows, and that's kind of how that's the season we're gearing up for now.
Yeah.
That's about what we'll leave on a Wednesday night, and we'll come back Sunday morning.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we go out west and we'll stay for a couple weeks at a time. But when I'm home, I dedicate my time to writing as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I write for Tree Vibes Music.
Okay.
And Tree Vibes Music is an awesome company that's killing it right now. My friends, Tyler Hubbard and Brian Kelly,
mm-hmm.
Of the Georgia Line, are the guys that pioneered this company and hired me as a songwriter and signed me as an artist at the same time. And so it's been a really cool thing because we went to college together. And we've always been pulling for each other and been in each other's corner. And they saw an opportunity and a timing lined up to sign me and help me get where I want to go next in my career. And so I'm writing songs to get there. And what that means is I show up usually about 11 o'clock. It's a co-writing venture every time for me these days. I'm collaborating, you know, and because there's so many great songwriters in town, you know, it's just always been a positive experience for me when I'm in the room with the right people. It's just cool to put your heads together.
Absolutely.
And get something special. And so I'm doing that a few times a week. We'll show up at 11 o'clock. I've got an office at 3 Vibes, or I'll go to an office of someone else and we'll sit around with guitars and we'll just throw out ideas for songs, man. Until something sticks.
That's awesome.
And, you know, a lot of times I'll walk around with my iPhone and use the voice memo app. When I hear melodies that just pop in my head that I think would be cool to write to,
yeah,
I'll just record it. When I have a line or a song title or a concept, I pull out my notes app and I type it down, just and then put it back in my pocket. And that's kind of the mind of a creator, a songwriter, no matter what. Actually, just a creator, creators in general, I think, in any profession you're in, if you have a need to create and constantly be thinking of ideas, that's sort of the typical thing. You can't stop thinking about it, in a way. I'll wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and reach over and start typing an idea that I had in my head for a song. Meanwhile, thinking, oh, gosh, Chris, you know, I'm just writing down a song.
You have to screenshot it every night. This is what I was on my phone at 3 a.m.
Exactly.
It's not Tinder or anything like that. It's just me
right,
our next big song.
Trying to write the title down.
You mentioned getting in rooms and writing My mom, I didn't really want to go here, especially after your freaking first joke. I was gonna stay away from any kind of reason
what
to give
you some, about your beautiful mom.
Some I didn't want to give you any kind of ammunition to use, but here we are talking about her again. You've written with Terry Price, my lovely mother, and my brother Matt. They've had the privilege of working with you, and I know, yeah, he's all right. My mom's awesome.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
Compared to your mom.
He's your ex-roommate, by the way. For those of you, not many of you know that, but that's how I've gotten to become friends with Kanan was really through my brother. And they really, really like riding with you, and you know, always have heard nothing and seen nothing but good from you. And you know, I know that's a blessing to them, and hopefully a little bit, you know, for you as well. No jokes intended there.
I always take away, honestly, I always take away something so positive every time I hang out with you and your family.
I appreciate that.
You know, for lack of better word, you honestly have just always had the joy of the Lord. Written all over you guys, and you just, it's awesome. It's so easy to be friends with people that shine as bright as y'all do, man. And it was a privilege to live with your brother for a while, because I was going through a time in my life. That was the season of my life when it was heartbreak.
Yeah.
You know, I was in all these different relationships that weren't panning out, and same for him. And it was cool to have a brother as a roommate that I could grow as a human with, you know, at this stage in my life. You know, just working on myself and growing was so important, and still is. But at that stage, your brother really helped me through some stuff.
Man, that's awesome to hear.
That's how the Price family rolls. The same way.
I appreciate that a lot, and you know, I know they'll be listening, and my mom will be crying, I think, from hearing that. The Price family is, other than me, a lot of criers in our family, so that might strike a chord.
Feelers.
That's true. Again, we mentioned Nashville. You've lived there for a long, long time now. Although Virginia's your home, Nashville's your obviously second home. What's your favorite thing about Nashville? I know we got to wrap up here pretty quick, so we'll kind of spitfire through the rest of this. But what is your favorite thing about maybe two things about living in Nashville that maybe outside of music?
Oh, okay, yeah. I think we've got a great. We have great natural trails to hike. My wife and I like doing that.
Okay.
Brander Lake is right down the road.
Yeah.
Getting out on ice there. And we got great food. A lot of great restaurants popping up all the time.
Absolutely. Nashville, for those of you who don't know, it's not all like country music and rednecks. It's a big city. It's a melting pot. So people really from all over the world come in, and Kanan's right. The food there, fantastic. Go whenever you're there. You can, if you don't go to McDonald's or White Castle or Crystal, as long as you roll those three out, you're going to get fed well in Nashville. So next time you get
Crystal on Hillsborough Point.
Oh, that place is awesome. That's the best. Before we let you go, you know, the last concert I saw of you, unfortunately, was several years ago in Denver, here out in northern Colorado, and I didn't know this about you. I knew a little bit about you, but your Bronco album. Tell us a little bit about that. What the meaning is behind it, and you know, touch on that real quick, if you don't mind.
Cool. Yeah, Bronco was my first album.
Mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity to tell a story that I felt like I wanted to tell right off the bat, and that was kind of like a deeper look into who I am, how I got here, and to do that, I had to tell the story that shaped me most as a kid, and that was when I was almost 12. I told you I had a big family. Well, my oldest brother, who was our hero, it was his first summer driving, and we got the call on a Saturday in June he had been in an accident, and he didn't make it. Mm. And that was just such a transitional time in our lives.
Yeah.
A lot of hurt associated with that that I definitely definitely put into music. And so when it was time to put an album out, I thought, man, I gotta get this out.
Yeah.
I gotta just tell that part of my story just to, for my own cathartic purposes and just to, I have the opportunity here to, make sure my brother's name is still spoken.
Absolutely, man. And there's nothing better than when a writer and a musician writes about real stuff. I don't care if it sounds happy, if it sounds sad. When it comes from the heart and it's real, that's, I think, in my opinion, is what makes music so great. And I listened to that album, man. It makes you, you said it's a story, and it really is, but it makes the listener feel like they're part of the story as well. And there's a few albums out there, but not many. And that one I hold dear because it means so much because it's so real. So I appreciate you even bringing that up by me bringing it up, you touching on it and talking about it. I know that's not always easy to do.
Absolutely, man. The song's called Bronco, incidentally. That's the song we're talking about. It's from the Bronco album. It's called Bronco.
Correct. So, Kanan, you're starting your tour here, coming up here in a couple months, really, with Florida Georgia Line, who you mentioned earlier. I think you start June 13th, coming up in Rogers, Arkansas. I think a Walmart show, because that's where their headquarters.
There's a Walmart in Arkansas.
Exactly.
The men's clothing section.
Yeah, exactly. Right next to the Hanes and Fruit of the Loom. But
I'm so excited, dude. This is going to be the best tour I've ever been on.
Absolutely.
I've been on some best tours, but this is by far and away going to be the one I'm most excited about. I'm putting out brand new music right before we go on tour.
Awesome.
That I've, and as far as my music goes, I've never been more excited about these songs we're about to put out.
That's great.
Just being able to play those on the stage that I feel is the greatest stage this summer to be on, with my friends, man. It's across the board, like, feels like Christmas.
That's incredible.
A long summer Christmas.
Absolutely, man. And you're starting in Arkansas, but you go really nationwide. You mentioned West Coast where you'll have to stay. I mean, you're out in California, you're playing, Florida and PA, and, I think you end your tour in Irvine, California, but you're here in Denver area, which I can't wait to see. I'll be there and I'll see you then, but it's a long tour, man. And I'm glad you had the Amazing Race to kind of prepare you for the grueling schedule that's coming for you. But to close out, what are one or two favorite cities for you to tour? I know they probably are on this tour because you're in just about 50 states and Puerto Rico.
Oh, man. Well, I love going out west. Y'all's way is always, man, it's beautiful out there.
Mm-hmm.
I met my wife at a little bar in Ohio.
Okay.
So that's always a special place, and the bands there are always great. But there's really, you can't go wrong.
Absolutely.
We got a beautiful country, greatest in the world.
Absolutely.
When I get out in it and it's fun with people that make our country so amazing, it gets better as you go, man. I'm happy to be at every single spot. This summer's gonna slam. I'm so ready.
Well, awesome, man. And again, we can't thank you enough for being on here, and good luck on your tour, man. I can't wait to see you out here here in a few months, and take care of yourself. We're all excited for some new music.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your support. Love you, man, and congrats on the podcast.
I appreciate it, man. Love you, too. Take care, and we'll be in touch.
Bye, buddy.
All right, man. That again, ladies and gentlemen, Kanan Smith, Nashville recording artist, and like he touched on in this interview, I've known him for nearly half my life, and I mean, we speak every few months, but being able to talk to him and kind of hear some things that I didn't even know about, through his knowledge of songwriting, of recording, of just being around in the music business was something that not just the listeners learned a little bit about, but I did as well. So, Kanan, thank you again for taking the time. I know you're about to go on tour, like you mentioned, and just appreciate the time you took with us today. One thing that he said that really stood out was he mentioned the Amazing Race on CBS. Of course, he was part of that. If you haven't watched that, watch it. You'll laugh. It's funny. His season is hilarious. The Harlem Globetrotters were on there as well, and they're funny as well. So check that out. I thought it was interesting, like I said in the interview, and that he said on the interview, that the Amazing Race really prepared him for the grind, you know, that is the music business. And just knowing people in the music business and athletics, whether it's baseball, hockey, football, whatever the case is, just interesting how something like that can really prepare you for that grind. And to him was Amazing Race, whereas somebody else, it just could be them being thrown in and learning it the hard way. So interesting stuff. Again, Kanan Smith, Nashville recording artist, about to hit the road with Florida Georgia Line and Dan and Shay and a couple other special guests. Make sure to check them out at a city near you. You can find those details at www.kanansmith.com. That's CanaanSmith.com. And thank you again, Kanan, for your time today. Don't forget, everybody, follow us on social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. The Twitter account is at ThePricePoint1. That is the number one. And then Instagram at ThePricePoint. These are new social media accounts. Give us a follow and make sure to subscribe to keep up with everything The Price Point. Stay tuned for our next episode. It's going to be great. I'm not going to tell you who the guest is. You're going to have to stay tuned for that. We've had three great ones out of three shows. Stay tuned for more. This is The Price Point.